Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, Going Gray with author Ann Kramer. Ann Kramer is setting the record for how an author's first book is received. She's been on basically every television show you can think of, been written about in every newspaper or magazine, and is taking the world by storm. Why? Because her book, Going Gray, is about one of the dark secrets of modern America. Ann Kramer, welcome to the program.
Hi, David.
Or maybe I shouldn't say dark secret. Maybe I should say, you know, gray secret.
Well, yeah, it actually is sort of a dark secret. I mean, you know, one of the things I have discovered in terms of doing research for this book is that in 1950, 7% of women in America dyed their hair. Today, by Clairol standards, it's almost 65%, and I think in certain neighborhoods we could all think of, it's probably closer to 100%. So literally, in one generation's time, we've gone from most women not doing it to almost every single woman in the country dyeing their hair. I mean, that's an amazing thing to kind of think about.
Okay, well, let's circle back to the beginning. A few years ago, at a certain age, after decades of dyeing your hair, as so many women do, you made a radical decision. Tell us about that decision and why and how you came to it and what happened.
I started dyeing my hair in my 20s when the first gray hairs came in. And over the course of that period of time when I was young, my hair color was much more of a kind of a way for me to change my identity, to stand out and sort of differentiate myself from people I was working with. So when I was a banker, I dyed my hair, for instance, a kind of weird, bittersweet, orangey color kind of thing. And I thought, oh, I look like an artist. You know, it was just plain ugly, but over the years I changed it at tons of different times. But what happened as I got into my 40s was I sort of settled into a kind of boring, dark kind of mahogany, both color and a kind of heavy cut. And I went on a trip with a bunch of girlfriends and my then 16-year-old daughter, and my friend sent me a photograph of my daughter on one side and another friend who had gray hair on the other side, and I was in the middle, and I looked at that photograph and had one of those great moments of objectivity where I think I saw myself as others might see me. And I thought, wow, I looked sort of fake, and my hair looked dead to me. And I had no idea what it was like underneath, and I thought, you know, that's the moment where it triggered me, and I thought, I've got to see what my natural hair color is and maybe try and tap into more of my authentic self.
And when did you decide to write about it?
Well, the best way I know how to keep myself on the track of doing things that are important to me is to tell as many people as I know, and then I can't kind of back down from a challenge. And so I called a friend of mine who was an editor at Moore Magazine and said, is this something you'd like me to write about for you? And she said, absolutely. So I started keeping a diary, and then when Moore published my piece, they got more reader response to that piece than they've gotten from any other piece they have ever published in their history.
Oh my.
Women actually set up a Going Gray kind of support group on the Moore website. That's the point I realized, oh my heavens, you know, this is actually a topic of huge interest to lots and lots of women around the country. I mean, you know, there are 40 million of us, the youngest of the boomers, 43, going through this. So that's when I decided to write a book about it.
And obviously, it's not really about hair. It's about aging and about how women are perceived in our culture.
That's exactly right. And hair gave me a sort of very clear entry point into it. And in fact, interestingly, you know, I did lots and lots of research at malls around the country. And when I would go up to women, I'd say, you know, in a few minutes, can we talk about your hair? And they'd say, absolutely. Let's sit down and, you know, talk. And they would tell me in the first 3 minutes of meeting them, you know, about their husbands or their mothers-in-law or their daughters. I mean, it was the most easy entry point into hearing the sort of deepest secrets of a person's life I'd ever discovered. I mean, if I'd gone up to a woman and said, you know, talk to me about your divorce, they would have smacked me probably. But, you know, talk about hair, and all of a sudden you get every anecdote about their lives at any particular point in time. So it is a very clear tool that we all use to sort of define ourselves, and to, you know, bad hair days is obviously the most important thing that women talk about when they go out and they don't feel good about themselves. So it's a way to talk about aging through one specific point.
Tell me about some of the adventures that you went on during the writing process?
I discovered as I talked to women that the two things that terrified them the most about getting older is that they'd lose their sexual attractiveness or that they would lose professional opportunity. So I decided that the cleanest way that I could get at was hair color detriment in terms of dating if you had gray hair would be to go on Match.com. And I went on in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. And in each of those markets, I first went on with my hair photoshopped back to a brown color. And then 3 months later, I went on with my gray hair. And in each of those markets, three times as many men wanted to go out with me with my hair gray as they did with my hair brown.
That isn't you expected.
I expected the exact opposite. I thought, okay, great, let's just find out, you know, where the rubber really hits the road. And in fact, it couldn't have been more vindicating for a sense that what I think men are looking for is someone who is honest, someone with whom they can perhaps feel will be more comfortable about their own personal flaws, whatever they might be. I mean, when I was on Good Morning America, they replicated the experiment that I had done on Match.com with a 61-year-old widow in Florida. And she had the exact same result. So, you know, I think it was a just greatly validating message for women to think, you know what, relax. This is not something you need to obsess about.
What about in the professional context?
What I did there is I staged two steps in terms of my probing of that topic, in addition to vast amounts of research and interviewing lots of women. But I went out to image consultants and posed as a person who was interested in getting back into the corporate workforce. And my assumption with them was that right out of the box, they'd look at me and say, you know, well, honey, you're looking a little drab. You know, I think if you're going to go back to work, you seriously need to update your look. And let's talk about your hair. Could we freshen it with a few highlights or something? And in fact, not a single one of them said that. They all, you know, I think in the kind of Miranda Priestly character that Meryl Streep played in The Devil Wears Prada, they all thought that I could punch the color up even further on the white scale and use it as a kind of competitive asset. So that surprised me in the same way that the experiment on Match.com had surprised me. What sort of sobered me, and I think is a kind of call for action and conversation on behalf of women around the country, is when I went to corporate recruiters with a similar sort of approach to them, I found out, in essence, that not only because of my gray hair, but in fact because of my age, I did it when I was 50, I was virtually unemployable in terms of going back to the workforce at anything like the comparable level I had left. I could be a consultant, I could be any number of things, but work is increasingly something that people feel very compelled to have a kind of young persona in order to get work.
My guest is Ann Kramer, author of Going Gray, What I Learned About Beauty, Sex, Work, Motherhood, Authenticity, and Everything Else That Really Matters. Given that you were surprised in both the professional context and in the sexual context, the attractiveness context, that your preconceptions about going gray were wrong, and that in fact this was an asset, not a problem, did you have to get out security because Clairol was going to take out a hit team?
Well, you know,
you threaten if everybody got this message, you know, you're a big threat, Ann.
Well, what I hoped to do by writing the book, I mean, for me it was a really interesting process of self-discovery. I mean, at the very beginning, I had the same anxieties and fears that a lot of the women I talked with about, you know, am I going to look old? Will anybody ever, you know, pay attention to me again? And it sort of forces you to look with clear eyes at where you are in your specific stage of life. From that perspective, what I hope the book can kind of do for people is at least open a conversation about thinking that there might be an option for yourself out there in the marketplace. I don't think people are going to do this overnight. I mean, in the piece I wrote for Time, when I interviewed another 100 women, 75% really were concerned that if they had gray hair, they would not get promotions or they might not get the jobs that they were looking for. So I think that pressure will still be out there and real. I think, you know, the fact that we have 16 female senators ranging in age from 46 to 74, and not a single one of them has gray hair, shows just how profound the pressure to dye one's hair really is. I mean, in the segment of our workforce where maturity and experience and responsibility and all the kinds of things that gray hair should connote, you think would be an asset, yet they don't feel they can, with their level of accomplishment, feel that they can do that, I think is an issue.
Yeah, and of course, if a male senator were to dye his hair, it would have probably the opposite reaction, which is that he's a fake.
Yeah, I mean, Mitt Romney's had to publicly say, I don't dye my hair. He's turned it into kind of a, you know, an issue. And I mean, let's look at John Edwards here as a different sort of a conversation. But yeah, no, it's a huge deal. I mean, you know, there's a commentator in England named Anna Ford, who was a top, she was sort of the Katie Couric equivalent, and she recently let her hair go gray, as did Camilla Parker Bowles. And it's turned into a gigantic conversation in England as well over, you know, should women do this or what's it mean? And, you know, I feel like if Katie Couric let her hair go to what I assume is her natural color, you know, 50% of all people will have 50% of their hair gray by the time they're 50, the rough rule of thumb. And, you know, she's not that much younger than I. I mean, if she went out with gray hair, think of the message that would communicate to the public.
Right.
On so many levels. I think it'd be fabulous.